Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. We are focusing on Perek Chof, the 20th Perek of Sefer Melachim Beis. This is a short Perek, but boy is it a packed Perek. This is going to be the end of Chizkiyahu's life. We're getting the short end of it over here because we only have the Melachim's version of it. This really to be studied in better depth needs to be looked at in Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis, and also going into Yeshayahu, Prakim, the later Prakim of Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, to see this in full definition. Nonetheless, let's try to appreciate what we have over here. We're told that Chizkiyahu gets deathly ill. We're not sure when this is. Some of the Mephoreshim suggest it's even during the war against Sancheriv. Some of the Mephoreshim say it's afterwards. Nonetheless, clearly a very desperate moment for Chizkiyahu. And what happens is Yeshayahu, the Navi, comes to visit him. And Yeshayahu turns to him and says, Tzav Leveischa, you know, get your affairs in order. Ki meisata, that's a goodbye. You're dead. That's what Hashem has said, and Chizkiyahu refuses to accept that. He turns his face to the wall, and he prays to Hashem, and he says, Hashem, please remember. I've served you with truth and a full heart. I did everything that was good in your eyes. And he cried. At this point in time, Yeshayahu has actually left the room. Yeshayahu is on the way out, and Hashem returns to Yeshayahu and says, Shuv, return to Chizkiyahu and tell him that he's going to be the leader. I've listened to his tefillah. In 3 days' time, I'm going to heal him, and he's going to get 15 more years of life and going to be saved from his enemies from Ashur, from Assyria, which is what leads the Mephoreshim to suggest that it happened before the death of Sennacherib's troops. And at this point in time, Yeshayahu does that, and he gives back the order, and he says to him a very curious sign. He says, Chizkiyahu, to show that this is going to happen, you can choose one of two things. Either the clock is going to wait 10 hours, or it's going to jump back 10 hours. And Chizkiyahu says, I want to choose the easier one, or so to speak, the one which looks less supernatural, that the clock should wait rather than it should jump back. And remember, they're measuring time with sundials or sun instruments here, so they're making the shade either wait or jump. So he says, let it wait. And that's in fact what happens. The sun waits 10 hours, and this is the sign to Chizkiyahu that ultimately he's going to be saved. Finally, at the end of this parak, we meet an interesting episode in where Barodach Baladan, who is the king of Bavel, sends books and menachos to Chizkiyahu because he heard of his sickness, and obviously he heard of his cure, and he sends a tribute to him. Obviously, Bavel is the new rising power in the dangerous East. He takes him around and he shows him everything. He shows him his storehouses and his spices and everything that he has and that he has under his control. At this point, Yeshayahu comes and says, wait, who is with you? And Chizkiyahu says, oh, they came from a very far land, Bavel, meaning, they recognize me and they're important and therefore I'm important. And Yeshayahu says, what do they see? So he says, oh, everything, I show them everything. So Yeshayahu turns to him and says, well, you know what? Listen to what Hashem says. There's going to come days and everything that you showed him, everything in your house is going to be taken to Bavel. All your children are going to be servants in Bavel, in his temple. And Chizkiyahu's response, Toiv devar Hashem asher dibarto, the matter of God is good to me, haloim shalom ve'emes yev yomai, as long as there's truth and there's peace in my days. And then the parak concludes saying that Chizkiyahu, the rest of Chizkiyahu's accountings and doings are measured in the book of, or mentioned in the book of Divrei Hayomim, and one of his projects was he made this tunnel, which came through the city, and he passed away and was buried with his forefathers. So that's the perek in an overview. There is so much we need to think about when unpacking this perek. A few things points to ponder. Point number one is, this whole business with the sickness. Why was he sick in the first place? Was he destined to die and then that was changed, or did Hashem want to save him? Like, what's going on over here? Yeshayahu seems pretty clear he's going to die at the beginning. So if he's going to die, then he should die. If he's not going to die, he shouldn't have been told that he's going to die. Why was he sick? So for this, we need to really turn to the Gemara in Bracha, stuff Yud Amud Aleph to Amud Beis. Very incredible pathos when reading this Gemara. Rav Amnuna tells us the following story. That the reason why Chizkiyahu Melech got sick was because Chizkiyahu made an active decision in his life, and that was not to get married and not to have children. Why? Because he also himself had prophetic vision, and he realized and he knew that if he were to get married, there would be a child that would come from him who would be a terrible, terrible person. In fact, he was looking into the future to see a person called Benashe. We're going to learn about him in next parak, just to hear all about him. And Chizkiyahu said, rather let me not deal with that. Let me not bring such a individual into the world. Yishael comes to him and says, you know what? Your job is to be doing what you're supposed to be doing on this earth. Chizkiyahu says, but what about all the terrible things that my son will cause? Yishael says the famous words, Why are you playing with the hidden things of God? Let God take care of God's plans. You take care of what you're supposed to be doing. So then Chizkiyahu turns to him, as we saw in the Psukim. He says, you know what? Let's make a shidduch. Yishael, you have a daughter. I have an unmarried man, an eligible bachelor. Let's make a shidduch right here now. Yishael says, too late. You're dead. That's what the Psukim explicate. And Chizkiyahu says, oh, no. I have a Kabbalah. I have a tradition from my father's father's house that even when a cherev chada munachas atzavar shel adam, even if you have a sword on your neck, you don't ever stop asking for rachamim. He turned himself, his face to the kir, as the Gemara explains. It wasn't that he turned to the wall necessarily, it turned to the inside walls of his heart. He realized that he needed to change himself. When he was able to effect that change, that's when he changed, and that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually, can you imagine this, pivoted the gzera on that a prophet had said about Chizkiyahu to change. That's astonishing. And Chizkiyahu walks out alive. This is the story of Chizkiyahu's illness. Very, very powerful idea, which happens in the first part of this perek. We move on. Next point to ponder. When looking at this next episode of the sign, and the sign that he gets about this, the options of changing time, in a certain sense, that's exactly what Chizkiyahu is dealing with. Let's think about this. He's missed an opportunity in his life. He hasn't had children. What do we do? Can we put the clock backwards? Can we make time slow down? Chizkiyahu says, you know what? I can't change the past, but I can change the future. I can make sure every moment counts. And there's a famous Chinese saying, which is the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. And that's what Chizkiyahu is saying is, you know, I can't change that, and it's going to be too dramatic to change the past, but you know what? I can change the future. It is interesting, if you look at the Psukim very carefully in this section, you'll see that those 10 hours were not unaccounted for, meaning to say time doesn't just change, everything is conserved. There's a conservation of time even, not just matter. And that is that apparently the Pesukim tell us that these 10 hours were from the times of Achaz. What happened? When his father Achaz was a terrible Rasha, passed away, Hashem sped up the day in order that there should not be time for Hespedim for Achaz, because he was so terrible, nothing good should be said about him. So these 10 hours came back again, were sort of redistributed in Chizkiyahu's life as a sign of the ability to be able to change the future time in the time slow moving. There's a whole discussion, of course, about how this actually works, what is really going on, about miracles, how does time change, and this comes back to the Ralbag and Malbim's general Machlekes. Not for right now, we've talked about this a few times previously. Nonetheless, let's go on to the end of the perek. This whole business about Bavel. What is going on? Why is Chizkiyahu blamed for this? Sounds like he's innocently showing his storehouses. The Ralbag points out that what's going on over here is, here's Bavel. Here's the king of Bavel. He's so astounded by Chizkiyahu's, you know, first of all, destroying the armies of Sennacherib, and Chizkiyahu's miraculous recovery from illness. He's sending over people to see, like, wow, look at this walking, talking, living Kiddush Hashem. What does Chizkiyahu do? He says, ahaha, look how powerful I am. Look at my oitzrois, look at my storehouses, look at my dominion, look how much I control. What he did was, there was a moment of potential Kiddush Hashem, and what happened? He pivoted it away, he turned it towards himself. And that was his failure over here, which is why Yishayahu says this. In fact, the Mefarshim points out that even the flippant way in which he was talking to Yishayahu, as if, oh, they came from a faraway land, has a smacking of arrogance, which is why this, in fact, was was seen as unworthy of him. You notice, of course, that very, very lofty individuals like Chizkiyahu are judged very severely, meaning the expectation on him may not be the expectation on regular individuals because of the high responsibility that he bears as an individual. And it's very sad. We're going to see that, in fact, this is to come. What is Chizkiyahu's response? It sounds like it's Gamzu L'Tova, but actually his response, as Rashi understands it, based on the Mitzudos understand it, is, he says, you know what? Tov Devar Hashem. If Hashem gives me the promises for my life, which is a good life, a peaceful life, and it's going to be in my life, that's fine. What happens with my children, I can't control. Essentially, what he's saying is the exact lesson that Yeshayahu had taught him, which is, Bahari Kavshu Darachman Olamalach. You try your best. I can't change that right now. Hashem promised me a good life. I'm going to enjoy my life. I don't know what to do about the future, but that's not my business right now. And that's ultimately what he's saying, which is the reflection of exactly Yeshayahu's lesson. Last point over here, just a fascinating archaeological point, is we still have today this area, which is called the Siloam Tunnel. You can visit it in Israel today. And that is the tunnel that Chizkiyahu built. For more details, if you look in Divrei Hayamim Perek Lamed Beis, you'll actually see that he built this not after the war, but during the time of war. Because, of course, if the Silwan Spring or the Gihon if Jerusalem is under siege and the enemies have access to the water, that's bad news. They're going to use their water. So he created an underground water duct to bring the water into the city to make them able to withstand the sieges as part of his preparation for the fighting and the siege of Sancheriv and earlier Rav Shake before him. And we actually have the inscription stone of the Siloam Tunnel, and it describes it's a voice of a man, and he describes how he was carving. There's an inside stone which describes how the individual who was working on this actually cut the stone. So it's a very beautiful and interesting piece of archaeological evidence. Just out of interest, it actually is in Turkey right now, and in 2007 Israel requested that it be brought to Israel, and the Turks replied that it's Ottoman property because of course. The Ottomans came long after Israel. So nonetheless, that's where it is today, but it is very fascinating, and one can actually view that today, one piece of where we step right back into the land of our ancestors. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.